A warning to America. 25 ways the US is being destroyed in under 2 minutes. 1. Open borders and illegal immigration. 2. Rampant crime and unsafe cities. 3. Mass addiction and fentanyl. 4. Election insecurity and interference. 5. The educational indoctrination of children. 6. The asymmetrical weaponization of justice. 7. The destruction of private property rights. 8. Inflation and debt. 9. The global depopulation agenda. 10. Record low fertility and plummeting birth rates. 11. Unaccountable federal bureaucracies. 12. Toxic food supply. 13. Vaccine and pandemic disinformation. 14. The trans contagion and sterilization of children. 15. Overprescription of pharmaceuticals. 16. Destruction of the nuclear family and parental rights. 17. DEI and the new racism. 18. Moral and societal decay. 19. The financing of endless foreign wars. 20. The sprawling surveillance state. 21. The centralization and consolidation of government power. 22. The destruction of trust in institutions. 23. The censorship industrial complex. 24. State media propaganda. 25. The smearing of those who challenge it.
If the road were easy, everyone would take it. We don't shy away from challenges. We dive in. And now, live from an undisclosed location in FEMA Region 10, it's your host, Joshua Michael.
Welcome, folks, to today. We are now in the fight of our lives. You are listening to Joshua Michael with Noncompliant America, and there are no more sidelines in this fight. The deep state, the administrative state, whatever you want to call it, they have now got their funding, and they are underway across all the college campuses to divide and conquer the entire population of humanity so they can incrementally segregate us to start exterminating us, whether it's chemical castration, whether it's through poison, whether it's through infighting, famine, war, whatever it may be, they are under the mass extermination program to depopulate the planet, to take us over. And we are well underway of this system that has been happening for years. They've been dividing us and dividing us and dividing us and dividing us. We all know the game plan. We've all been awakened from the COVID pandemic, the scandemic of the nonsense and the BS that we all got sold, a bag of tricks that was a CIA operation meant to hoax us into taking their poison shot, which has its own other thing. The FDA is now admitting to massive, massive amounts of cancer increases and all types of things. But what we're going to get into and talk about today, what we want to talk about is this new Japanese virus that they are pushing, this new Japanese bioweapon that the Japanese people are up in arms about it. They are rioting in the streets, protesting massively, which if you know, the Japanese people do not protest lightly. They very seldomly do it. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the street protesting against this system, because the Japanese government, aka the military industrial complex, whatever you want to call it, are developing a new vaccine. Now, what is this going to mean? We already have the experimental COVID shots that people are rejecting in droves, and they're realizing that it is destructive to the planet and to the people. But also, they are just going haywire and crazy for these new technologies that they're trying to introduce us, which ultimately comes down to nanotechnology. There are nanobites, nanobots, different things. They're now putting it in the food supply. They've just injected billions of chickens, so now it's going to be in the main chicken supply. And it's going to be everywhere. We can't get away from it. The best thing that we can do, the most important thing that we can do, is start cleansing our bodies of it. And there's a million different ways to do it, but most importantly, we say it all the time, it's very important to become independent with your food consumption, with your water consumption. You want to filter out your air as much as possible, and these are things that you can control that are very simple. Now, it's not always cheap. It's not always cheap to do it. There's a million different ways to filter your water. If you have a Brita filter, that's not going to do it, because we're talking about chemicals that in most cases, in most city municipalities, they're not testing for pharmaceutical chemicals. They are not testing for the glyphosates. In fact, they are putting some chemicals into the water to preserve their piping and their infrastructure. And these are harmful chemicals, harmful metals that are getting into you and your children, which are distorting and ruining their system in being able to digest stuff. We are not made to have a huge amount of different chemicals that we're digesting. And that explains some of the chemical castration, is what I like to call it, in which what's happening to our population, what's happening with the average man and the demasculation of men and the confusion that's happening, that's creating these hybrid, tranny, confused people and these non-binary people. I don't think it's all spiritual. I don't think it's all environmental. I absolutely 100% believe that it has to do with chemical intake and what they're digesting and intaking into their body, and they don't even realize it. And that's happening with everything on the shelves, fast food, the water supply. All of these things play a part. And so that is the modern war that we are in, and rest assured, we're in a war, and rest assured, now that the government has just got their funding and they're preaching it like it's going to Ukraine and Israel and also Taiwan, as that is the case, there's also a huge amount of middlemen that are siphoning off this money, pushing it into NGOs, and they're also going to create these proxy agitation groups, what we know as BLM and Antifa, and now the pro-Palestinian movements and the pro-Israel movements, and this riff. We're getting drug into this thousand-year spiritual war of nonsense, and I'm having to take the Republicans and the conservatives to the woodshed today, because we are falling into a divide and conquer trap. Meanwhile, our borders are wide open. We got no funding for the United States. We got no funding for our veterans, for our homeless, for the energy, the infrastructure, hardening our energy systems. We got no money for the border. We got no money for any of that. It's all going overseas, which in return is going to these NGOs, which in return is going to paid agitators in the first phase of it. It's the paid agitators that are at these college campuses right now. This is the new revolution. This is the new ideological color revolution that George Soros talks about that he did back in the mid-2000s. It's paid agitators. Look up something called the economic hitman. The economic hitman. That shows you how some of the CIA operations work. They create agitations, they create paid actors, and there's a lot of money behind this, folks. And ultimately, you got to ask yourself, you know, what is the goal? Why are they doing this? Because a divided house will always fall. And they cannot conquer the United States externally, so they have to do it internally. And so the communist, Marxist, fascist people that have hijacked and infiltrated our government on all aspects, even down to a local city and county level. And we're going to get into that a little bit more, not this show, but I'm working on a report right now about things going on in our state's capital and who's involved and who the bad actors are, because it's important that we root these people out. And it's important that you know, as the listener, You are on the battlefield and you are the fight. You are the soldier, but you are also the victim. You are the victim in the sense that you're being bombarded, whether you like it or not. Whether you choose to believe all this stuff that I say, or you choose to think that you're just going to hide your head in the sand and it's all going to go away and nothing's going to be done and you're going to be safe and you're just going to protect your family and you're just going to go out in the woods and you're just going to build a bunker and you're going to do this and you're going to do that and you're going to be safe from this system. Well, you're wrong. And the way that we fight back of this, the way we fight back is spreading information, having hard conversations with your neighbors. Let's get these churches active, folks. Let's see what they're made of. Let's have personal, private conversations with the leadership of the churches. Expand that into public conversations with the congregation. The churches are under attack, and they are being forced to sit down. It's because good-hearted patriots with solid minds, sound minds, and a good synopsis of what's happening aren't approaching these guys heavily enough. So now this is the time where you get involved and you get activated in that way, and we all play our part. In a war, there's 15,000 different positions, but everybody contributes. But let this be a warning, folks. They know that you are waking up. They know that we are getting active. They know all of this. You know why? Because they've been monitoring us for 15 years with the NSA spy programs and the data centers in Utah. And the collaborations they have with AT&T and Verizon and all the cellular companies, they're metadating all of your data. They're listening, tracking, and following with AI and discovering trends, discovering who the actors are, who are the leadership teams, let's attack them, who are the people inspiring people to actually wake up and listen and get off grid and do this stuff, let's attack them. That's why they attacked the farmers in Oregon. They had a massive pushback from that because we're getting more organized. We're understanding now that we're in a fight. And that's what the most important thing that I want you to understand of this message is that there's no more waiting. There's no more time to wait. It's going to happen. They've activated their proxy groups. They just got all their funding. Last Saturday, they just got all their funding. And now expect to see an escalation in what Vladimir Putin would call pressure, an increased amount of pressure on the everyday American, the everyday household. That in itself is quote-unquote terrorism. They're trying to provoke a response, either a violent one or a nonviolent one, and a response of complacency for you to get scared and be worried that you're going to be next, so you keep your mouth shut. And that may be the case, but you have to do it. We have to push forward, and we have to be able to move these agendas forward. But more importantly, you have to be vigilant with who you decide to associate yourself with. There are landmines everywhere. There are impersonators everywhere. Everybody's jumping on the Trump train right now. Everybody's jumping on the MAGA train right now. Everybody's jumping on to, hey, I'm pro-patriot, I'm pro-grassroots, and all these trigger points. You can't be a fool and be like, oh, that looks like a good person because they said the word patriot. Therefore, they must be a patriot too. Just because somebody says something doesn't mean that that's what the case is. You have to be able to vet these people out. You have to hold their feet to the fire, and you have to make sure that they're doing what they say that they're going to do. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors on the Republicans and the Democrat side. And where do we go? There's a lot of non-affiliated voters out there that are like, hey, we don't like either party. We're just trying to preserve our liberties. So how do we reach those people? How do we get in touch with them and start talking to them? Because those guys are the future. Not only that, they're the majority. But we're going to get more into it. You're listening to Noncompliant America. I'm Joshua Michael. We'll be right back.
time to unmask the truth and expose the lies. The occupied forces do not want you to hear this broadcast. Breaking through the censorship.
You know
what
they knew, stopping all the doors, I'm dropping. It's Friday
Joshua
night,
Michael,
so everything is popping. I got spin on the head.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're getting back into it, talking about a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Just trying to give you a synopsis of overall what's happening in the world. We can show some microcosms. I want to get into some stories. This is a short segment, so we're going to get into it. Talking about kind of the state of the world and the state of our country and what we can do. One of the most important things that I always try to emphasize is get prepared yourself. You are the first responder. You are not the second. You are not the second responder. The police and the EMTs and the fire departments, all that stuff. If you can't communicate, if they shut off the phone systems, you are not going to be able to call the police. Therefore, you have to defend yourself. You have to defend your family. You have to survive. And it could be months. It could be days. It could be weeks. Could be years that these communication systems turn off. One of the things to obfuscate that is satellite phones. You can go to Sat123. I know Mike Adams from the Health Ranger. He's got a great system and a collaboration with the satellite phone store. You can go to Sat123.com. Get a sat phone. Get it now. Order it now. Learn how to use it. They got bundled kits. You can get one for you and maybe a distant relative or a relative. So you guys both have them, because just remember, if you're the only one with the sat phone and you got nobody to call, who are you going to call? Because their phone's not going to work either. So you got to forward think about that. That's something if you can afford that. You want to think about just food in general. I was having a conversation with a guy the other day. He's like, hey, I got 3 months worth of food. I'm ready to go. I said, okay, let's think about this. You got 3 months of food, right? Say all of a sudden that you have to start digging into that food. All right? The clock is ticking. Boom. 30 days go by. 30 days go by. Okay, you got 2 months left of food. Maybe things kind of start trickling back in, but you still can't get food and you still can't get supplies. What are you going to do? Well, I got 2 more months. Okay, cool. Let's talk about that. So you got 2 months more worth of food. You go in, another month goes by. Now what? Now you got 1 month of food. 1 month of food, and that's it. You're done. Well, no, that's okay. I got seeds. I'll grow a garden. Oh, okay, cool. So how long does a garden take to process? How long does it take to do that? Do you have the resources to do that? What time of season is it? Right? You plant the garden, it might take 90 days. 90 days, 100 days, possibly, on its cycle, depending on what you're growing and everything like that. What are you going to eat for those 90 days? What are you going to eat for those 60 days? How are you going to do that? Oh, I never thought about that. Okay, cool. So the best thing to do is think about, one, food for your family, food for your neighbors, food for that. And if you're going to do seeds and grow a garden, everything else, one, you should put that in the ground right now based on uncertainty, as well as it's just healthier. You know where the food comes from. It's much healthier to do that. Much, much healthier. Two, you have to be prepared to be able to use your storable food while your garden is growing. Then once your garden comes to fruition, then you can survive off of that. But if you're very unskilled and uncertain of that stuff, trial and error right now while the grocery stores are still open. Talk to your local farmers. Talk to people around your area that are in direct proximity of your area or around, and develop a plan with them. Hey, can I get some beef from you? Start buying beef from them. Beef is so important, and it's under attack. It's being attacked everywhere. It's very hard to come by. But if you have a good relationship with a cattle farmer who's got beef for sale or has the ability to do that, start bartering with them. Talk to them. See, they're probably like-minded. They're probably good people, and they could probably inform you a lot about what's actually going on. So stuff like that is really important to do onto getting prepared. Because listen, folks, the Democratic Party, these non-government organizations are running rampant in the open border process that's going on. Now, Charlie Kirk just had an interesting interaction with a guy talking about the open border and talking about how Joe Biden's going to win in the future. And this could explain of why the Democrats feel the way that they do and they're not concerned about the election.
I believe Biden's going to win in a landslide. Lowest unemployment in 60 years, baby.
What about inflation? You have any questions about inflation?
Inflation's going down.
Actually, it's going up.
It's going down. It's gas prices are down. Gas prices are down. Inflation is down.
Why is the Fed then raising rates? How many illegals are coming across the border every day?
A lot.
So about 10 to 15,000 a day. Do you think Joe Biden...
And they're all going
to
vote Dem.
You're okay. Can you say that again?
The illegals... Well, illegals. Yeah, they're coming here. They're going to vote Democrat, and we're going to win.
So you are admitting that the border is a political tactic by the Democrat Party. Joe Biden is opening the floodgates of this country because he wants to hold on to political power. We've been saying this for a long time.
Proof?
You just admitted it. What is he doing to secure the border? When you have 15,000 people a day coming across your southern border,
who cares?
That is not a mistake.
Who cares?
But who cares? Do you believe in borders?
I believe that... No borders, no. One world government.
Final pitch for Joe Biden?
No
borders, lots of war, more spying, and bankrupt the country?
He is still going to win.
You guys might win an election, but that will be the death of America if that is the case.
Wow. So that's just a microcosm of the arrogance that we're up against. I mean, how do you even have a conversation with people like that, that are so convinced that their side is winning, and they're by winning... They are destroying the country. And the better question is how do we counter this stuff? I mean, this is what's happening all over these college campuses. This is the mindset that's being produced from these people. They live in a bubble. They drive around in their little, you know, unicycles or their e-bikes. You know, they go get their Starbucks. They eat their Chick-fil-A or whatever. And they're just living in a little tiny bubble and have no concept of real reality and real suffrage that's going on. Well, the next thing on the next segment, I want to get into what's happening on a revolution with the IRS and how they're weaponizing AI with the judicial system against you and your bank accounts. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting from the formal state of Oregon in FEMA Region 10, it's your host, Joshua Michael.
All right, folks, here we are. It's 2024. What are you going to say? What are you going to tell your kids? What are you going to tell your grandkids when the world was watching America burn down and fight against itself? Think of all of the distractions and the proxy groups and the ridiculousness that we're all getting bamboozled into. We're all fighting, we're all arguing, we're all trying to have conversations about thinking that our perception is right. Our perception is right, and here's why. But here's an interesting thing that I want to talk about, and I'm going to get a lot of flack for this. People aren't going to like this approach, but hear me out. Hear me out. And this has to do with Israel and Gaza and Palestine. Depending on whatever side of the fence that you're on, I get it, right? I understand the arguments on both sides. I understand the arguments, right? And so here's an interesting, this is a slippery slope, and I was talking with Huck about this the other day. Slippery slope that's happening, and I'm watching conservatives and Republicans fall right into the same trap that the Democrats did with the BLM movement and the Antifa groups. And that is, you know, the word Black Lives Matter. When you hear the word Black Lives Matter, they're like, oh yeah, if you don't support that, that means you hate black people. And it was this trap that was put on the Democrats that trapped them into supporting this organization. that had bad intentions. Black Lives for Mansions, right? Because that's what it really came out to, is that, you know, it's all everything else. Well, that was disassembled, that was exposed, everything else. I'm seeing the same exact triggering to where if you were a conservative back in 2016, 2017, and you're like, hey, listen, Black Lives Matter, we're not against black people. We just think Black Lives Matter is a bad organization. Oh, you don't like black people. Oh, da, 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 and it turned into this big old defensive fight. I've seen real fights break out at the state capitol over the same argument of nonsense. And so we'd have Black Lives Matter show up at our protests. When we're protesting the masks and protesting the lockdown, Black Lives Matter would show up. And some of these FBI operatives, whether they were on the payroll or not, that were representing our group and kind of hijacked our group, would come in and start a fight with these guys. And then I'm like, I have my hands in the air, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? Why are these guys even fighting? We should all be fighting against the masks. We should all be fighting about government censorship and these lockdowns that are oncoming and ongoing. That's what we should fight about. That's what we should all collaborate about. But no, they wanted to get into their tribalism and fight with each other. And I just thought that was absolutely ridiculous. But I saw it unfold in real time, these psyops, these straw men that they were organizing. Then front page of the headlines would be our event, which was an anti-lockdown, anti-mask, anti-vaccine event, turned into these white supremacist groups are punching black people at the Capitol. And that wasn't anything what the thing was about. We weren't protesting against black people. We have black people all over our movement. I don't need to grandstand. I don't need to virtue signal. I don't need to explain anything, whether I'm racist or not. It's ridiculous. It's a stupid argument, but it puts people in a box. Do you understand? Do you understand? If you understand this, how many times has a conservative been called racist in the past 5 years? Probably most of you, right? Okay, well, the same thing now is happening. I'm seeing it with the conservatives doing it to a pro-Gaza, pro-Palestinian, anti-genocide group. And they're like, hey, you know, this and that. If you don't believe in us, if you don't support Israel, because Israel is the one that's disenfranchised here, then, you know, you're a horrible person. You're this, you're that. So I'm watching conservatives do the same thing in support of Israel that the Democrats were doing with Black Lives Matter or Antifa. So here's the trap. And here's where I stand on the whole situation. One, I think it's terrible what happened to Israel, without a doubt. It was absolutely horrific. But if we're going to have that conversation, we need to talk about the 7 to potentially 9 hour stand down that the IDF did and let that happen. The most protected border in the world suddenly was able to get infiltrated, and they had 7 hours, 7+ hours to do their bidding. And it was up until the off-duty soldiers really got involved and really got to counter that. So one, that's terrible. But in response to that, what's happening in Gaza is equally as bad. They're hurting them, they're corralling them into a corner and just exterminating them. In the name of what? So I think both of those things are horrible. But the real conversation that needs to be had is, why is the United States funding both sides of this argument? I'll tell you why. They need the conflict. They need the distraction. Racism didn't work. Disenfranchising poverty versus wealthy people, that kind of, that didn't work. You know, the other groups and subgroups and categorized groups, the Democrats versus Republicans, yeah, that's kind of still there. There's still some polarity and contrast, but the reality is, you know, we weren't fighting as much as we want. So then what? Then what? They're like, okay, activate the Israel-Palestine debate. Let's activate that. Because then you can rope in all the spiritual elements. You can rope in the Muslims. You can rope in all this stuff. And we got a real fight on our hands. You poke those groups. Now they're really going to fight. Cool. Awesome. We discovered the triggering mechanism for both sides. We found the trigger. Because we weren't able to get the racism card, you know, imprinted on the conservative groups. That kind of didn't really work for us. But now, if you're pro-Israel or pro-Palestine, there's a conundrum there and nobody can win. Nobody can have a real conversation and say, hey, why are we spending $1 trillion and sending billions of dollars to Ukraine, now Taiwan? So expect to see some friction happening in Taiwan. The Chinese are pissed that we just sent them $6 billion for what? Watch the economic hit, man. You'll understand why. We sent more money to Ukraine. Why are we still sending money to Ukraine? They're partying, having a good time over there. They're having a great time. Why are we sending money to Israel? What does that have to do with our border while it's wide open? And our homeless population is growing. Inflation's through the roof. Gas prices are going to start going up. All of these things are happening domestically. Meanwhile, we're sending money everywhere else. They are not concerned about the United States, and it's all a program, and let's get back to it. That Charlie Kirk segment kind of explains it all. They are destroying the fabric of our society, and if we continue to fight with each other, that's exactly what they need in order to take over and preserve their coup in this oncoming election. It's a perfect distraction. It's a perfect distraction. Because what I'm seeing now is there's no way out of the argument. I'm pro-America. I'm all about our borders. That's all I care about. I care about let's get our country in order. Let's get out of all these foreign entanglements and these foreign wars. And let's stop funding Iran and Israel at the same time. Let's stop building armies in Afghanistan and letting them go rogue and giving them all of our tanks and missiles and helicopters and trucks and 50 cals and all this stuff and say, oh, we had to leave it there. We had to get out. That was a payoff, folks. That whole thing in Afghanistan, why we suddenly left, and all these guys, all these militant groups in which the quote-unquote freedom fighters that we were training. Come on, guys. This has been going on, and this is also why the world is turning against the United States, because we're losing our soft power. They have Joe Biden propped up on a podium, blabbering like an idiot. Because that the rest of the world, just understand, when you keep saying Bidenomics, you keep blaming everything on Bidenomics and Biden and Joe Biden this, Joe Biden that, Joe Biden this, understand he was put there. So you idiots would sit there and just talk about Joe Biden like Joe Biden's destroying the world. Joe Biden's destroying this country. It's his administration. It's the people behind him. It's the real groups that are not sitting in government that are pulling the strings. They're destroying the markets. They're destroying the industry. And they have a perfect patsy. Somebody that can't even talk for us to blame it on. But more importantly, what is it signifying to the rest of the world? Hey, their guard is down. They don't even have a leader right now. It's pure chaos over there. They can't even get their country in order. Let's attack. Let's attack them domestically. Let's run our soldiers through the southern border, get them set up for this coming October. And let's get ready, because now is our time to strike. Why the United States is weak, because they have a weak leader and they have weak policies, and they're pampering to everybody but themselves because they're captured, corrupt, and taken over. Now is the time to strike. And that's why I believe they need this chaos. They need this tension. They need all of this stuff, because the organizational group, the administrative state, the deep state, whatever you want to call it, that took the coup and took the presidency from Donald Trump in 2020, They need an excuse to do it again. And so the more chaos, the more distraction, the more likely that they're able to get away with this stuff in the future because they're going to pin you as the bad guy. We'll be right back. We working hard for this money. Folks, welcome back. Last segment here, Non-Compliant America. Last weekend before we get into May. We're going to have May Day and all types of things planned across the country. But what's interesting, you know, we're talking about these college campuses and kind of the takeover that's happening over there. And I know Columbia is kind of the main one, but what's interesting to me of what happened at UT and then Governor Abbott, what Governor Abbott said about the protesters in UT. Going and talking about Governor Abbott, I mean, he really advocated to arrest people that were protesting. And again, whether you believe it or not, whether you believe in the Palestinian debate or the Israeli side of things or not, everybody has the right to protest, right? Everybody has the right. That's the redress of grievance. These are all the same arguments and same positions that a lot of people had in 2020, 2021, you know, with the protesting the lockdowns. Remember, we weren't getting heard. They were ignoring us. Then eventually we just became non-compliant. Then lo and behold, the birth of Non-Compliant America. Because I believe it is peaceful and a mass non-compliance is the key to everything that we're doing in the future. Everything that we're talking about, all these problems that we're having, if we peacefully don't comply with these things going on, they can't enforce it. You see the trick there? But in order for us to peacefully not comply, we have to be together. We have to be one and decide what is the real issue and the real debate and redress our grievances, not with each other, but with the government that is allowing this open border process, that is sending all of our money, that has just increased the amount of IRS agents to come after these small-time, middle America, middle-class people. That's what we need to be fighting against. That's what we need to become non-compliant for. And if anybody knows who Owen Schroyer is, they call him Schroyer the Destroyer. He cut his teeth during the lockdowns and confronted with Antifa and different things like that. Phenomenal guy, really smart guy, very outspoken. He has some great things. But he was over in UT a couple days ago talking with the anti-Israel protesters and having a civil conversation with them. It was actually really interesting because if you remember, a lot of those times, you know, they would put up black signs over the cameras. You wouldn't be able to have a conversation and talk. But he actually found some people that were, you know, anti-Israel. They were against what Israel was doing, you know, calling it genocide or whatever it may be. And now keep in mind, Netanyahu he's potentially going to be charged now with kind of a Geneva Convention, Nuremberg type situation. There's talks of that, of countries worldwide initiating that. So let's put that on the back burner, right? Whatever your side of your debate is, keep in mind that that's happening. Now, they're also going after Donald Trump, and I don't want to lump Netanyahu and Trump together, but they're also going after him for, you know, all these ridiculous things that are going on. So it could be anything. It could be nothing. Could be everything. We don't know, but it's important to have these conversations. But I want to play a short clip. It's about 4 minutes long of Owen Schroyer and the context in which what he's explaining, because I believe in this position too. This is also my position. That's why I want to play it. It's really interesting, but he crystallizes it in such an interesting way. But more importantly, what I feel that was so revolutionary about this interaction is the open-mindedness and the logical side of the opposition to potentially his point of view, and the open debate. This is what America is about, and this is what they're trying to stamp out. This is why they don't want us talking. They want us on the internet with these triggering talking points and headlines to try to get everybody to respond, to lump everybody into this conglomerate. And we're seeing this happen locally. I didn't really get into it too much, but this is a very key little blippet of the conversations that I think need to be have. We need to stir and steer this ship back onto focusing on America and not get distracted in helping and worrying about what's going on across the world. Now, we can have all of our sympathy, but we don't need to be spending all of our money over there, putting our future and putting our kids into debt. Take a listen.
But we have bridges collapsing. Americans are poor. Americans are broke. Yes. We have our own problems to take care of. I think everyone agrees with that. But to say I've not met a person out here that disagrees with that.
But to say it's a distraction is disingenuous, because this is part of that. Like, we want America to divest from Israel, to put money back. Well,
okay. Here's why it's a distraction. Why is it the message here to stop the government funding of foreign countries and to stop the funding of foreign wars? Why is it that the message?
Because the amount of people that I died in the hands of Israelis is so much more disproportionate to the amount of people that
I agree.
So that's why it's an emphasis on Palestine specifically, rather than saying, let's stop
Ukraine. But here's the thing. Our government funds both sides of the war.
Okay.
It's not a war.
So that's what I'm saying.
It's not a war.
Well, it is a war.
To call it a war is misleading. It's not a war.
But hold on. Do you know how long
have... No military. Palestine has no military.
40% of people in Gaza are under the age of 14. What army?
Okay, so that's fine. So I get it. You're concerned about the Palestinian people. That's fine. I get that. I understand that. I'm saying that you have your own issues here. And you can pick any humanitarian issue. What about the Uyghurs in China that get tortured? What about the Yemenis that get bombed and starved all the time by Saudi Arabia? No, you're not.
Yes,
nobody brings them up.
Just because there's multiple things that are wrong happening at the same time, it doesn't take away from the importance of just emphasizing one of them. Just because we're saying what's happening in Palestine is wrong, that doesn't mean we don't care about the Uyghur Muslims. That doesn't care either.
I agree, but nobody is out here marching for them. Nobody comes out
because
here marching
the amount
for them.
Okay.
We just gave $90 billion to Israel.
Okay.
Annually we give them hundreds of billions. It all needs to be stopped.
We
need to stop funding Israel, stop funding war, stop funding everything. That's what I'm saying. We're all victims of our government. We all pay taxes for wars. That's what we need to be united.
What should we be doing right now? What should we be doing?
You're fine to come out here and protest. I'm just saying, the larger unifying issue for the American people should be who here likes paying taxes? Why don't we come together and stop paying taxes? Then they can't fund Israel. Then they can't fund Ukraine's war. They can't fund any of these wars. Maybe we can keep a dollar in our pocket so that we can go out to dinner without getting broke.
How about this? The Congress.
I'm fine with that too.
We have to keep it here.
You want everybody to stop paying taxes?
You like taxes?
I'm asking you because it gives
everybody to stop paying taxes.
You don't pay taxes anyway. That's what you have to remember.
What a misnomer. This university costs $40,000 to $50,000 a year.
Okay, you guys can see more of the video on my show title today. It'll be in the notes. I'll make sure that I list that on there. But one of the last things that I want to talk about, because we are talking about the future, we're talking about survival, we're talking about health, all of those things, right? One of the main things that you can do with water filtration is the new thing that right now, and they're very hard to get, they're backordered, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon, but getting distilled water systems. Distilled water is the future in taking out all of these chemicals, and it's the actual way to get clean, healthy water. You got to remineralize it after that, but again, running out of time. Thanks for listening. Joshua Michael, Noncompliant America. Make sure to like and subscribe. Visit noncompliantamerica.com or follow me on X @noncompliantus.